Welcome to Mintel's Little Conversation, real conversations with actionable insights into what consumers want and why. My name is Andrew McDougall and I'm Director of Beauty and Personal Care Research, and I'm excited to bring you our latest installment chatting with more of our lovely experts. Today, we're going to be taking a look at one of the hot topics that is quite close to my heart, being a beauty and personal care topic. We're going to look at fragrances and some of the key trends in the digital and social world we live in and how this is impacting what we're seeing in the fragrance space right now. I'm also absolutely delighted as well to be joined today by my good colleague, Clotilde Drappe, who is the Global Fragrance Analyst for our Beauty and Personal Care at Mintel. She's our fragrance expert. She writes all of our future content, strategizes on our fragrance insight. So welcome, Clotilde. I'm very happy to have you here today.
Andrew, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here, and I'm sure we'll talk for ages, but we've got a set sort of space that we'll have to try and keep that within. But our fragrance is our key focus. One of the key senses that I think just impacts everything, not just in the fragrance and perfume category, impacts the whole of beauty and personal care and beyond as well. It's so powerful when we think of sort of the mental and physical connections that we can make with fragrance. So I thought today, as I mentioned before, we're going to talk specifically about social media trends and fragrance, looking at the rise of certain social platforms in terms of how they help with fragrance discovery, what this means, how it's helping, how it's also potentially hindering how we explore this sort of important sensory category as well, because obviously there is that sort of separation sometimes when we're on a screen or on a device. But I suppose my first question to you, Clotilde, to begin with then is how do you think social media has influenced the way consumers discover and perceive fragrances?
So I think social media has been a very strong platform that has probably changed how people think about fragrances, discover fragrances, experiences them, and learn also about them. I think especially for the younger generation. So, you know, we've had this emergence of hashtags now around the trends for perfume talk, and now the rise of influencers that are specialized in the fragrance space. So I really think that those kind of platforms and how people have made use of them also has completely changed. I think introduction and education of new consumers into the category. I think for especially that generation that is really savvy with social media, they've been able to kind of embrace and associate micro trends that we see emerging on social media around specific aesthetics, for example, with clean girl aesthetics. And then usually they tend to go look for products that fit within those kind of trends and aesthetics. And I think this has also driven and impacted how people search for their fragrances too. So yeah, I think for me, the first angle here is discoverability and education for the new generation, especially.
It's interesting what you say there as well, actually, because it's kind of, I guess it's the wider trend of this kind of information highway that we have access to all the time anyway. We can discover so many things and connect. But it's true, we have so many avenues for this discovery now, with almost these communities we can create online, whether that's on platforms like Reddit. I mean, the subreddit for fragrance is huge. Yeah. People talking all the time, sharing all these things. It really is like a fascinating space to, as you say, discover these kind of communities, to talk to people, and almost find out more about sort of the fragrance industry.
Yeah, and I think the community angle here is really important, but also I think it's been refreshing. I think in an industry that has been for some years now quite traditional, I would say, in terms of their marketing campaigns, their visuals, very, you know, we've had the emergence of niche unisex fragrances, but when you look at adverts at Christmas or when you see launches and products that are being launched by traditional fragrance houses, I would say it's still very black and white. You know, it's still very much men versus women. It's citrusy versus floral. So everything was very boxed, I would say, and like something very traditional. And what social media did, I think, is it really unboxed this whole realm, I think, of fragrances and how people see and think about fragrances. Just because you don't have the key element that you need on social media, which is smell. So like you need to have creativity in order to discover this category, you know? So I think this is where all of this interest has picked up, because I think the category had to be much more creative than categories like skincare or color cosmetics in terms of capturing consumer attention and imagination, for sure.
Yeah, so that's a good point as well, actually, because you are missing that one key element you need for fragrance. But that, as I said, that creativity is really interesting, because it's now about the stories you can tell online, how you tell those stories, and how you incorporate different sensory elements into that. I know from, in beauty, we've seen a lot of sort of AR and VR and all the virtual try-ons and things like that. But actually how you can create these worlds that people can go into to discover fragrances, make those connections in different ways is really interesting. Can you kind of discuss the role of audio and visual elements in fragrance marketing and how we connect with consumers, particularly on platforms? I mean, platforms like TikTok right now are really sort of powerhouses. How important is this?
I would say that it's 90% of the job, probably. There's companies like Pooj, for example, that are investing very heavily within that space of fragrance discovery online using artificial intelligence technology, for instance. So they've built up, like, for example, a whole map and matrix that kind of changes how we categorize also fragrances. That's going to help maybe change how people search for scents and fragrances as well. They've also invested into creating a visual perfume filter as well, where people can use those kind of filters. They have like options that appear on the screen and they can choose, oh, I want something more floral, citrusy. They do this for a few times and then it matches them with a perfume, and then you have the perfume that appears on the screen. So it's very playful. It's very creative. I think they've had almost over 10 million views already since they launched it, like not really long ago. And I think it was quite interesting because those platforms that, like TikTok, for instance, where in the US it might be banned, the VP of innovation for Pooj, she said, if TikTok disappears, other platforms will take over, because this is how consumers engage now. With products and with the category, they need this kind of creative, playful aspect also that's associated to product discovery. So I think it's really showing how it's now kind of become almost a go-to tool also for the users, because there is obviously a playful element. It's easy. It's less intimidating, I would say, also than if you have to go into a store, ask a consultant, and look like you don't really know your stuff. And sometimes you don't even know where to start. Sometimes you don't even know if you want something floral. Sometimes you'd be surprised, but what is nice on you or what could fit you. So I think it just also is a way for consumers to have something a bit more approachable for a category that has been a little bit opaque over the past years.
Yeah, I love that idea. I love the idea of tying in the other senses. I said, I remember years ago, I think it was a company, I think it was Fleur. They had like playlists that they would have so that online you could like discover this is what the scent smells like. And I love that because it links to personality. It links to like what means a lot to people. And so I quite like that. I remember seeing as well, there's like a robot that can mix up a personalized scent for you based on language. So you put in certain words about who you are, like I'm playful or I'm happy or I'm this, and I want a fragrance based on language. I find that fascinating. And you mentioned artificial intelligence as well. And I kind of feel with generative AI, that's our next step now as well. I know that we were speaking before, and actually in cosmetics just recently, someone was talking to me about the fact that you can now use a photo or an image to and put that into generative AI to come up with a fragrance for you.
Yeah, there's this Swedish brand, No Ordinary Scent, that actually does this. So I think AI and Gen AI, it's going to give so much more power in terms of personalization, discovery, and matching consumers with certain scents, powered and fueled by this kind of emotional drive and connection also that people kind of put into it. Like you said, sound plays such an important role as well. DS and Durga as well has been doing this for quite some time. And there's this brand now, Others, where basically they also created an app where you can meditate while you spritz the fragrance on you. So it's like a whole very holistic experience too, that's like mixing kind of digital and well-being as well. So I think kind of bridging all that connection between the senses as well is definitely making something more personal and emotional for the consumer, for sure.
I love that you've mentioned emotion and well-being there as well, because I think, as I said at the start, I personally think that smell or scent is one of our strongest senses. Yeah. I mean, you can smell something and you're automatically cast back to a memory in your life, or, you know, it can transport you to a moment in time. Our sense of smell is directly linked to that limbic system in our brain that is responsible for emotions and memory. So I guess, in what ways do you think fragrances are being tied to personal well-being and mood enhancement, particularly in the last few years now? It seems to be something that is also a growing trend that we're seeing.
Yeah, I like that you say in the last few years, because I think it's something that has been going on for a long time already, that many companies like Givaudan and Symrise, they had already worked on, you know, created scents and ingredients and molecules that can kind of trigger emotions and emotional well-being. It's just that now we're kind of putting a word on it. It's more marketed. It's more of a claim, I would say, that brands now really position, like the new Charlotte Tilbury fragrance launch is completely like within that space. Like they clearly call out that the fragrances are mood boosting and each of their fragrances have specific benefits. But fragrances by definition and olfactory senses by definition have always triggered emotional responses from consumers, just because of the way we are wired as individuals. Like you said, you know, you smell cookies and then it reminds you of your childhood. It's just, you know, we just didn't know kind of the science that went behind it. You know, the Mintel NeuroGlow trend, I think, is really good at explaining now this whole like mind-body connection from a scientific evidence like standpoint. And I think this is now how it's fueling the fragrance industry. So, you know, there's been ingredients and technology from Givaudan, like mood scents, for example, that they created years ago. But now it's actually being called out by brands like, there's this brand called Happy Hair People, which is a hair care brand, and they call out like the Givaudan technology, why they choose this and the mood boosting benefits. And they say that it's been scientifically proven to, like, you know, impact your mood. And so I think now it's just really, we put words and understanding also around this. But I think fragrance has this kind of competitive advantage, I would say, compared to other categories, maybe more like in beauty, like color cosmetics or skincare, in the sense that it has been scientifically proven that there is a mind-body connection when you smell certain scents. So, yeah.
I think that's a really interesting point you make there as well, because, I mean, so much of this, not just in beauty, but in all consumer goods, is sometimes we've had the solutions or we've known the solutions. We've just never quite had the right trigger or the right thing to link it to. We've never had the story at the right time. Or, as you say, the science has probably always been there. You know, people who work in olfaction and deal with that will have known these things for years. But now we're seeing a lot more research being done into that. We know that fragrance can impact stress levels. We know now we can monitor stress levels before and after using any beauty product or any product. And so now those mood-boosting claims, which maybe seemed a bit wishy-washy before, There is science behind it now. We have that kind of you know, as I say, it's always been there. It's never been wishy-washy. It's just now, again, that substantiation is there and it's clear. So I think that's a really interesting sort of point to make, in that we now, in a world where, as I say, I don't think we're more anxious or stressed than we've probably ever been. It's just that we talk about it more. We talk about mental health more. We talk about self-care more. So those kind of narratives work much better now, I think, for companies. And so how do you think brands are using this kind of emotive and experiential language to describe fragrances online? How important is that emotive and experiential language that brands and suppliers are using? And what impact does this have on the consumer engagement?
I think brands are smart. They've understood that consumers respond to it, especially because I think fragrance And I'm talking about fine fragrance here, but I guess it could be applicable to, you know, we see more and more people, for example, engaging in like body wash and body care as well within this kind of self-care space. And because of the sensoriality and like the scent that you get from it. And it's just that it's also quite a simple, quick, easy pick-me-up as well. For consumers, you know, like they just feel that they need like a little extra shot of dopamine at some point, and they just like spritz a perfume on them, or they just apply their nice body cream after their shower. And like, it's almost this, you know, this, sensorial and emotional and quick, cheap pick me up for them in a way, I would say. And so I think there's some brands now that are definitely trying to convey an emotional response to how they would describe a fragrance. So now it's not just about saying that they offer a vanilla scent, for instance. It's not just a vanilla fragrance, but it's a vanilla that comes from this specific place. And then it's going to make you feel like a specific, I don't know, individual. Like there's this quote, for example, that I took from that brand Sniff from the US, and they have quite a very, I say, creative way of describing their scents. So one of their fragrances, they say, it's like a crush that you can't quit. Sweet ash starts off low-key and sweet, but always leaves you wanting more. So, and the fragrance has vanilla. It has sandalwood as well. So it's just a different way also to really connecting, I think, in a more individual, personal way, emotional way for the consumer. It's not just about it's going to make you look like Charlize Theron, you know, like in a swimming pool full of gold. And it's just very down to earth. It's very tangible. And I think this is how brands now are trying to connect a little bit more to drive this kind of emotional narrative. I think there's also the visual aspect of it. I also have a feeling that we're starting to see more and more changes in packaging also of fragrances, that it's not just about the classic black and white Byredo Scandi aesthetic, but now color also plays a much more important role in packaging, because, you know, you also need that visual element to also emotionally connect with consumers. So it's not just about smell and narratives, but it's also about a visualization. And for example, I always like to give the Loewe range as an example, because they really managed to give color a purpose within their packaging and their fragrance bottles. Their latest launch was kind of like an orangey coral tone, but they said that it's because the fragrance was inspired by sunset and, you know, late hours at the beach. So it did make a lot of sense. So then you also had that kind of visual connection also with the bottle. So I think it also influences packaging and visual narratives too.
Yeah, I think that's a really important and interesting thing as well, because as someone with probably a really poor sense of smell, to be honest, I sometimes feel like the audiovisual is important. Like, you know, when you hear certain words, if it's something is crisp or it's warm or it's sparkling, yes, or it triggers something that, again, you might not be able to smell, but you have an idea then of what it's going to smell like. In the same way that when you see a crashing wave or, you know, the deep ocean, or you're transported.
There's the whole ASMR also now. Like.
Exactly. I think those audiovisual elements are really important. A brand you mentioned just there, Byredo, I remember they had their Sundays description, which was all about sun-drenched, like, Californian shores. And it does kind of transport you there. Sort of mentally. Again, you might not know exactly what that fragrance is, but for someone who probably can't describe what fragrance it is I want, those kind of images and those kind of descriptions are probably important, especially if I'm looking to personalize fragrance. Now, going the other way, actually using audio visual elements are much easier for me to describe what kind of fragrance I want than potentially knowing the ins and outs of the perfume industry. Yeah. So kind of painting this picture is creating this sensory environment within your head, it becomes really important.
No, for sure. I think it almost democratizes access to fragrance. And I don't think it's just on social media. I think it's for every kind of type of consumer. I mean, we know that older consumers tend to already know what they like and what they want to buy. But there is so much more to discover in the category. Probably they can also try to get out of their comfort zone a little bit more. It can maybe help them discover other scents and maybe just go and try something else outside of their very loyal fragrance that they always wear. So I don't think it's just about Gen Z and social media, but it's something that could also be implemented in store. You know, it's not just something that has to be in the physical, in the digital world. It's something that can also be developed in the physical space as well in terms of discoverability. There's brands, for example, like Fischersund, which is an Icelandic brand. I think it kind of opens up also new ways of experiencing fragrances. So for example, the brand, they have their flagship in Reykjavik and they created their shop like a museum, basically. So you go in, you learn about local ingredients. You can put an audio cast helmet to kind of have music in the background, because I think the founder is a musician. So it's very experiential. It's about education. So you learn about the local plants, the local flowers, the local ingredients. You have specific musics at certain time in the shop. So it's almost like going into a museum. I think that's quite a nice concept.
Yeah, I think it is. I think, yeah, and finding different ways to experience that, I think, is important. Because as you say, yeah, it kind of opens up the accessibility then to the fact that, oh, actually, you know, I may not be the quintessential traditional fragrance consumer, but actually, no, I can still play in this space and understand and learn more in this space in different ways, because ultimately we can do that. So I like this idea, like what you said with it sort of democratizing fragrance almost. I like this sort, yeah, of this sort of trend. I mean, traditionally, and I don't think it's necessarily just Gen Zs or younger consumers, but the fragrance industry has always played very well in sort of the luxury, so sort of desirability, mm-hmm, space, like appealing to sort of, yes, aspirations that we have. And I think that's also an interesting thing that I wanted to ask you about with regards to things like influencers and celebrity now, because I think we've evolved and we've developed our relationship with celebrities and influencers. We can seem to go up and down. Some people don't want to accommodate that, or some people do. But it's really interesting to see how celebrity and influencer fragrances are still quite an important part of the industry. They still do have an appeal to consumers. So what do you think is the significance of that growing trend of these kind of celebrity and influencer fragrances in beauty and personal care? Because that would have been buoyed on by these social and digital trends.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think one thing I would say now is that with the celebrity fragrances, at least the ones that we're seeing emerging now, launching, they do feel very different than the ones we traditionally saw a few years ago, it's a bit cynical what I'm going to say, but I do think that there's companies, there's people who have seen that people had quite a strong willingness to pay for high premium fragrances if they felt that the price was justified. And I think this is kind of, you know, they've probably seen an opportunity to also make a bit more money with more expensive fragrances. I'm just saying this because I've seen the price, the average price of new celebrity launches from Victoria Beckham or Harry Styles. And to be honest, Victoria Beckham, she's always been on the higher end of things, even with her makeup line. So I'm not surprised, you know, that she did something very well thought through and very premium with her fragrances. But it is still like more than £100 for maybe like 100 mil for a fragrance by a celebrity, which isn't something we were kind of used to seeing before. So I think that's changing a little bit, but the way it's changing is also the fact that, yes, it's definitely benefiting from the desirability of the celebrity, you know, herself, but it's much less about, like, we don't see even the picture of the celebrity anywhere on the websites, for example, or on the Instagrams, or it's really about the juice itself, the fragrance itself, the narrative, the packaging. And then it's also kind of associated with the celebrity, but they're not as front and centered as maybe what they used to be. So that's kind of how I see their influence kind of changing a little bit in terms of the beauty and wellness, not beauty, personal care space, but yeah, like everything else is becoming quite premiumized, I would say, whenever there's a celebrity behind it.
Yeah, it's an interesting point you make, because our relationship and our way of engagement is changing. Like, it was always images and front and center and things like that. And you mentioned now that actually that's not always the case, even in a celebrity or influencer environment. It's not always just about the person and just promoting just based on that. There are other factors. It's almost the focus on quality and the focus on the product itself. Yeah. And so do you think that is down to, that is just the way social media has evolved things? Like, how do you think social media has changed the traditional fragrance industry's approach to marketing and consumer engagement in that way?
Yeah, I think it's just they have to talk to a different audience now. They have to talk to some consumers who, you know, are much less biased by gender, for example. So they're talking to consumers who are not shy to buy and use a male fragrance for themselves as a female, for example, and vice versa. So they're talking to a much more diverse and complex consumer group, I would say. So I think this is kind of why they've had to readapt the narratives to also not making sure that something is specifically targeted to a specific gender, but that it's more about the scent itself, rather than having a pink bottle for a woman and then a blue bottle for men. This still exists, and there is still demand for this, you know, like there is still like consumers who want, you know, this kind of approach. Is very, you know, it makes it very distinctive. Like, it's very easy to understand and to comprehend as well. But when you see the launches from Harry Styles or Victoria Beckham, for instance, the products, I think, don't look very gendered. It could be for anyone, really. So it's just, you know, it depends. Also, they talk to their specific consumer audiences, but beyond that, they can also talk to new consumers too. So it's expanding also the consumer base.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, tapping into sort of wider trends rather than specific fragrance trends is actually tapping into wider trends in the way that consumers engage with things in general. Well, I know we've discussed fragrance quite a lot now with regards to social media and digital, but I would be remiss if I didn't say that obviously there is a huge challenge to selling fragrance online or on social. Obviously, yeah. Because we are, as we mentioned, we have mentioned it, but that idea that you are removing one, the most important sense is kind of removed slightly from, you know, your digital space. I know that there's, without having a tablet that's been loaded with all these different cartridges that have all these different smells, it's very different to smell a product if you're especially a specific product, if you're on your device or on your computer in any particular way. So how do brands and can brands get over that? Can they create these sort of trial before you buy options, or can they increase consumers' comfort with purchasing scents that they haven't actually smelled in person? Or is it a case that you're always going to be smelling it first in store and then purchasing online? Like, how do you think those challenges can be overcome with this sort of digital and social space?
So I think that's probably going to depend on many factors. It's going to depend probably on the type of consumer. It's probably going to depend on how easy is it to access some brands and some stores wherever you live, because, you know, not everybody lives in big cities with like big department stores and shops that stock like trendy brands. So, you know, if brands want to reach as much as possible, like their audiences, obviously they have to kind of rethink a little bit their business model and their sampling capabilities. One thing I would say is that shopping also on social media and on platforms, there's a lot of gray market. There's a lot of gray areas, but also gray markets out there. So for consumer safety also, it's very difficult for some brands also to manage. So I think like brands that are kind of taking back ownership of platforms on D2C, for example, where they, DTC, where they really talk about, you know, they go and sell directly to consumers through their own controlled website and platforms. That's probably one way to do it. The the brand I mentioned earlier, Sniff, for example, they do a trial before you buy a sample kit. So basically, they actually provide you with, you can pick and choose, I think, up to three full-size fragrances that you receive at your home. You have a week to kind of trial and scent, smell them, which I think is quite nice because then you can smell them at different times of the day. You can smell them like maybe if you're in a different mood. And then you can return the box with either the three fragrances if you're not pretty convinced by it, or you can keep one of them and then you would just end up paying for that one fragrance and the return is free. So that's quite a nice way, I think, to offer a like a trial, a sampling trial. It's probably quite costly to do this, but I think it's paying off because I've seen the brand doing, I've seen the brand kind of everywhere now and they've launched like so many different, they do a lot of limited editions. So they seem to be growing in popularity. But then I think also over the past years, we've seen a lot of interest in minis also, like mini sample sizes. Especially for more expensive fragrances. So every time I go on a website or every time I try to shop for a specific fragrance, I always see that those mini kits are out of stock. And I think this is why, this is because it's great value for money. It's something that you can definitely keep with you. It's quite easy and it's much, yeah, it's just cheaper than committing to a full price expensive perfume. So I think those kind of mini trial sample size kits are also something that companies have to continue to do more of. And I can see that companies are definitely investing a lot in those kind of travel size, travel friendly, formats as well, because it's quite a great value for money way to trial. And you can trial basically like a whole range of brands like portfolios. So if you go in a store, maybe they're not even going to have all of them, you know? So I think it's quite, I think this is definitely one of the great options for consumers at the moment in terms of sampling experience.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because obviously you mentioned obviously that it could be costly and there's obviously a sustainability factor of sort of sending all that around. But actually, if you think about it, it's still, I mean, it's much better to do that though, right? Than potentially buy something and then waste the product because you're not going to use it. Yeah. And it's a great option for things like gifts. If you're buying gifts for someone and it's just kind of, you don't know what their scent is, a very personal thing. So again, it's kind of giving them options. I like that. Cause I think what we've discussed today, which is quite interesting, is we are so creative in the fragrance industry now. And there are so many different ways that we connect and go beyond scent. But ultimately, I think sometimes the best way to discover your scent is still the old fashioned way. It's still trusting your nose. Yeah. I mean, you could use Gen AI, or you could use words and languages and images to create a personal fragrance for you. You could even think to yourself, oh, I like these fragrance notes. But unless you're a perfumer, you may not know that those are actually the fragrance notes you need. So you may find that you create all these wonderful things, but ultimately when you actually come to smell it, it's like, oh, that's not what I thought it was going to be. I don't actually like the scent that I've created. So I think there's also a big opportunity then maybe for education as well going forward, that you know people are still going to need to learn that this is a very intricate space that we're not expecting consumers to know everything about. So there is this sort of open gap here, or open space.
For example, here in the UK, Floral Street, during COVID, there were, and I think they still do it now to be honest, but they started it during COVID when people were at home and they were trying to find ways to basically get people to still buy and sample and try their products, you know, because they had heavily invested into physical stores and that was kind of a big part of their business model. So they developed workshops and learning schools, for example, for people where basically they sent people at home a sample box with like a range of their different fragrances. And then you can have a workshop with one of their consultants where they take you through each of their individual fragrances that you have at home and you kind of do it with them. So it's like a mix of digital and physical way also to sample. So I thought that was quite a nice also, because sometimes you also need that expertise and human element behind it. It's not just about maybe you just like this particular scent, but sometimes it's also nice to learn and know what goes, inside that fragrance and that scent, going back to that emotional connection, you know. So yeah, I think there's definitely opportunities, I think, to bridge the offline online discovery gap at the moment. There's especially when it comes to discovering maybe more niche brands that tend to be also a bit more expensive, but within the physical retail space also, it's there is definitely a willingness also for people to experience offline. I think online is just that it's fun and it's easy and it's quite driven by trends. But it's one thing to, you know, buy an expensive perfume because everyone is talking about it. It's another thing to actually experience it yourself. And that's where probably the physical space has a bigger place to fill, you know, in terms of maybe better guiding also people with the right products for them.
I love that. I love that idea of yeah, that human element still needed and finding out more and learning more. Because I think people probably, on one hand, you just want the convenience. Sometimes you just want a fragrance and you get it. And price obviously comes into that as well when people are making those quick purchase decisions. Mm. But that human element of still understanding and actually experiencing the scent yourself is also, I think, really important. I think that's one thing I've always said about the beauty personal care industry in general, is that we're such a sensory industry, like we're never going to be fully online because we like to touch things, smell things, feel things, and those connections are only made in person sometimes. But interestingly though, as well, from what you've said today, it's really interesting to see how the fragrance industry is still being more creative. It's democratizing. It's adapting to this trending world that we're in where we are online. And so there are different ways we can engage. And some of the examples you've given today are really fascinating about how brands can use the audio visual elements, how they can link to emotion and well-being. And again, how that story really resonates with consumers right now is really super important. So I think so much of what you've spoken about today has been so interesting and so useful because we are still evolving with this and there are still so many other opportunities. We've mentioned so many great ones, but there are still so many other opportunities for the future as well. So thank you very much for that, Clotilde. Unfortunately, I could probably speak to you for another half an hour, but maybe we could do that off record for that. But no, thank you so much for joining me today in this podcast. It's been super useful, super helpful. But the conversation doesn't end here. So for anyone who is listening, you can head over to our LinkedIn, Mintel's LinkedIn, and Instagram. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your thoughts as well on fragrance, how you're interacting with fragrances online and how that online, offline is sort of important in the world that you live in as well. Also, if you want to know more about Mintel, then visit Mintel.com and sign up and become a member of our free Mintel Spotlight community. And make sure you never miss an episode of the Mintel's Little Conversation by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. But all that's left for me to say is thank you so much, Clotilde. I've had such a good conversation with you, and I know there's so much more you could say, but it's been super interesting, so I hope you've enjoyed yourself as well.
Yeah, no, thank you, Andrew. And maybe I can just close this session with a consumer stat from Mintel that I think kind of ties quite well with what we said, is that in the UK, 68% of fragrance users actually choose products based on scent type rather than brand. So yes, that opens up food for thought.
Oh, there we go. That is the mic drop moment. There we go, right there. It's kind of like, there we are. The power of scent. We've been talking about it for the last half an hour, 40 minutes. Hopefully you've enjoyed listening to it. Thank you so much for joining me today, Clotilde.
Thank you, Andrew.
But all that's left for me to say is thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Clotilde. Goodbye for now. And we'll catch you next time for a new episode of Little Conversation.